Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to Amber Rose Presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
I'm Roxy, and I have an unapologetic approach to everything I do.
Y yo soy Ruby, a traditional woman with a modern perspective on life.
We're going to be talking about social media, hot topics, pop culture,
relationships, politics, sports, and everything in between.
Buckle up. Risqué with Roxy and Ruby. Prepare for takeoff. 3, 2, 1.
Survived Valentine's Day. Welcome to Amber Rose Presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby. Ahora el show se va a tratar de, pues, everything. Relationships.
Leave that for me, comadre.
Relationships, sex, everything Valentine's, even though we know it already passed. But still, I mean, I think I'm always and forever going to be a hopeless romantic, right? Mm-hmm. I think, oh no, Ruby, are you a hopeless romantic?
I am actually.
I really, really am. And I feel like that's just part of who I am. And I think mucha gente is, but they
hide
settle. They hide it or they settle.
It's not that they settle. I mean, I think there's people that settle for whatever it's in front of them. And there's people that just hide it.
Yeah.
And continue with their lives.
I don't know which one's worse, settling or hiding it, you know?
I don't think settling is good either.
No, neither of them are.
Yeah.
But I guess everybody's definition is different for settling, right?
Yeah. I mean, I think you should be with somebody that fulfills whatever you want, you know?
At that moment. And it's so crazy, ¿verdad, Ruby? Like, it's, you know, when you start getting, you know, when you're in your late 20s and your early 30s, you kind of start thinking about kids and settling down and relationships. Sometimes it takes some people to be up to 40, 45, como, like George Clooney.
Oh my gosh. But he's over 50.
He's over 50.
He's almost 60.
And he swore up and down, like, I will forever be Hollywood's bachelor. And se casó. His wife is a professional.
She's a lawyer.
She's a lawyer.
A humanitarian lawyer.
Ooh, they probably have some good arguments.
Oh, yeah.
Imagine being married to a lawyer or dating a lawyer. That would be a good, like,
healthy debate. Humanitaria parte.
Yeah.
Not a selfish one, supposedly.
Exactly.
You know? And imagine all of the girls he dated and for years, you know, and that he never wanted to marry them or have a kid. And now, you know?
Now he found the one. It's like,
and they're having twins.
And again, that's something else that I think we should talk about today, too, about for you, Ruby, the one may be so different than, like, the one for me. Like, everybody has their own definition of the one, right? Depending on what stage you are in your life. Because now, George Clooney and his wife, Amal, they're expecting twins. Reportedly, a boy and a girl.
And a girl. Yes. Yes. I mean, obviously they have not confirmed it because they are very private with their lives, but a source close to them broke the news.
Actually, they're saying it was a TV reporter from a show. Oh my God, what show was it? I think it was one of the hosts from a show called The Talk. It's like a talk show.
But she had a source.
Yeah, she had a source, but she was the one that kind of confirmed it.
Yeah.
But they haven't confirmed it.
Or denied it.
But they're saying that every time that she would show up to a red carpet or something, she was looking a little heavier.
Oh my God, but she's like 100 pounds.
Exactly. She's tiny. You know, God bless the women that get married. I mean, that get pregnant and all they get is a stomach. And as soon as those babies are out, whether it's twins or a one baby, they go right back to being flacas.
Well, I think
that's amazing.
No, but I think it's because they take care of themselves. They don't overeat during their pregnancy. And that's key. You know, my sister-in-law is trying to get pregnant, and she talked to the nutritionist, and she told her that she needs to lose those 5-6 pounds that she has right now in order for her to be able to go back to her regular weight once she's, you know, done with the pregnancy. Because then it's going to be harder for her.
Well, I intentionally, when I have kids, I intentionally want to get a little bit fatter because I want to get a fake ass after. I've always been very public about that. I'm tired of doing squats and deadlifts. And I'm like, ugh, it's not popping the way I need it to pop.
But do you need to get fat to get a...
Yeah, because if you want to get your own fat transferred into your butt, you have to have some fat to pull from your body. I already tried it. I already went on a consulta with Dr. Boris, and he told me, you're not fat enough. You have to gain 40 pounds so we could pull some fat out of you. So I'm intentionally going to get a little bit fatter because I want a plumpier butt. You know, I've always loved my butt, but I think it could be a little juicier. Like, boom.
Okay, so once you gain weight, then your ass is going to be massive?
No, it's not going to be massive. Fat. It's going to be so perfect like my boobs. I'm going to proportion it just perfect.
Okay.
You know what I mean? That's my plan. Yo ya tengo el plan. I'm going to get a mommy makeover.
That's good.
I'm going to be a MILF.
That's good.
I am.
That's the way women should think.
I have the plan already and I already have my surgeon. So I'm set, ready to win. But Ruby, you look good when you wear dark lipstick.
No, I look like a como Morticia.
Well, then why do you wear it?
Because, you know, sometimes you just feel like you just in that mood.
Yeah.
You know, you just like, I don't care if I don't, like, I just feel like wearing that. I just feel like, have you? Why are women like that?
Because we're very, you know what? That's because we just go with our emotions more, I think. Because sometimes I'm in the rude mood to wear red lipstick.
Yeah, but that's sexy, and we know that. But let's say if I was dating somebody or if I was going to go on a date tonight, I would not wear this because I know my guy would not like it.
Oh, gosh. Or not only that, you would probably get it all over his clothes, you know?
No, but this does not stain dirt.
Oh, it doesn't?
Yeah.
It's smudge proof.
Yes.
It's smudge proof. Okay, so did you hear, esta Ruby, de que Khloe Kardashian is now Khloe Kardashian? Votó su apellido Odom.
Yes, officially.
It's official. And I swear, tú tienes el tipo de familia. I love her family because I follow Khloe and I follow all the Kardashians on Snapchat. They celebrate everything. That's the way my family is. We celebrate everything. La agarraron un pastel to celebrate that because she dropped the last name Odom.
Well, they're, you know, they know how to sell too.
Yeah.
So obviously that was going to bring some attention. So I think that they had a little bit of marketing, you know,
behind it. Yeah. No, I mean, I feel like everything is a reason to celebrate sometimes. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, lo bueno, lo malo, pero that is a big accomplishment to be able to just drop the last name. And I think that's like a final step of like, I've released that person. I'm done. It's divorced. Ahí se acabó. We cut it off. Change my name and everything. You know what I'm saying?
I think you should keep that private.
What? Keep what private?
That side.
That side of you? I think, I don't know. You know what? In a way, you're right, because there's a lot of things that I keep private.
Yeah.
I've just become an expert in making people feel that they know a lot about me, but they don't. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But they're a family that comes from a reality show.
Like, yeah, that's what I'm telling you. They have marketing, you know, strategy behind it.
Yeah, they've become famous by putting their business out there.
Exactly.
Snap. What else do we have going on in pop culture?
Oh my God, girl. This is scary. ¿Te acuerdas de la actriz Mishka Barton?
Yeah, she's a British actress.
Very pretty girl. Okay, so this year she had a meltdown. So they saw her. I don't know if you saw the video, but she was like on her little yard. She was screaming and yelling. She was like drugged. She was on drugs and she tried to kill herself. So she was yelling, the neighbors, or I don't know, she was talking to herself, but she was threatening to kill herself.
What was it? The date rape drug?
Well, she claimed that they gave her that drug, and that's what triggered it. Pero
have you ever been in a situation, Ruby, where you feel like you've been drugged?
No, I have.
That's never happened to me.
Oh my God, I'm so grateful.
What does it feel like though? Like how do you start losing consciousness? Well, or cómo?
You know, I was like 16 years old, I think. You know, in Mexico we drink since we're like 13.
Pretty much. Yeah.
So I was in Mexico and we were drinking and my friends, you know, quote unquote, were there. And all of a sudden, I had one shot of tequila, and I was like, oh, let me go to the restroom. So I went to the restroom, and then I was, you know, I was peeing, and then I was washing my hands, and then all of a sudden, I was just like, oh, my God.
You felt dizzy?
I felt dizzy, and then I fell. Me caí al piso. And the difference is that you're totally conscious, but you cannot move. Like, your body will not respond.
What?
Yeah.
That must be like the worst
it's
feeling.
It's embarrassing because then my friends, I was, oh, thank God I was in the ladies' restroom. So my friends called my family and my brother, my older brother was so strict, so jealous with me. He showed up because he used to live in New York. So he was studying law over there, but he was on vacation. So he was there, you know, the older brother. That
yeah,
takes
protective.
Care of the, yeah. He was there. He saw me with my you know, little skirt up in my
oh my
face.
God, gay. So what did he do?
Well, I just remember him grabbing me and just taking me out of the place and taking me home and just taking care of me all night, you know? And he was just grabbing my face like, oh my God, because they drugged me. Thank God. I mean, that day I realized that the guys I was hanging out with that I've known for 4 years, you know, since I was 12, they were not actually my friends, dude.
Damn.
They tried to fucking rape me.
Oh, what? They tried, but they didn't, right?
Of course, because I ended up, like, that drug kicked in when I was in the bathroom.
Oh, my God. You know, I've never, and you know, there's been times when you're younger and you're partying, you're not really cautious about where you put your drink.
Yeah.
And nowadays, I'm like, okay, wait.
And don't trust anybody.
Because I've noticed girls at the club, too. Es cierto. A man offers them a drink and right away they're like, okay, sure. And if I've ever accepted a drink from a guy at the club, I'm like, sure. And I stand right next to them until my drink comes to me. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you. Because uno nunca sabe cuál es la intención de la gente contigo.
No.
You know what I mean? And in a way, I kind of feel men know the kind of women they could do it with. You know, where they're like all crazy and backing it up. And you could back it up. But still, there's certain girls at the club that kind of look like maybe, you know, like they're fucked up already.
Yeah.
So I could mess with this girl more than I could mess with this sober girl.
Yeah. But I mean, this girl, I mean, I saw the video and she didn't look like she was on that drug that I experienced. She just looked like she was straight up on drugs.
Yeah. They were saying that her behavior was like super bizarre.
Yeah.
Y de que, she was on her balcony or her porch, right?
Yeah.
But then her neighbors, everybody has a neighbor that's like a snitch, right?
Dude, but she's like, están las casas juntas. Like,
yeah, but her neighbors were saying that like every 2 years, the cops get called to her house because every so often, se le da vuelta la papaya.
I think that, oh my God. that has another meaning in Mexico.
La papaya? I love papaya. Oh my God. I have to have a papaya in my house every week. So, seriously.
Okay.
What does papaya mean if para los mexicanos?
It's the women's Gucci.
Oh, it does?
It is.
Oh my God.
Okay.
No, so, you know, I think if you don't ground yourself, and I'm such a big believer of like doing yoga, reading a book, being around your people that are not part of the yes crew, because I think when you're in this business sometimes, especially when you're Mishka Barton and you're a A-list celebrity, you have a lot of people in your circle that are enablers. They'll just like, oh yeah, go ahead. Oh, nothing's wrong because they're paying you. You know, and so that's why I think that when you do get to those levels, you have to always find ways or people that can keep you grounded, because if not, you can lose your mind in that lifestyle and up in the hills, and you start to feel like you're untouchable. And I don't know, just go spend a day and walk or drive through Skid Row in downtown LA off of 8th Street and you'll get a massive reality check.
Yeah, no, and you know, if this really happened to her, then she can come up and talk about how women get raped.
Yeah.
By, you know.
You think she will?
I mean, if that really happened.
Yeah.
You know, it's
she should
yet
become
to be
an advocate
proven.
For that.
Yeah, it's yet to be proven, like Luis Coronel. You know, we were just talking about it.
Wow. What's going on with Luis Coronel?
Okay, Luis Coronel, you know what's happening?
I like Luis Coronel. Was he born here?
He was born and raised here like many of our paisanos.
He
like.
Speaks perfect English and Spanish.
And Spanish. But his first language, I believe, he's dominant in English.
Like yeah, like me.
You, yeah. So, you know what's happening? That they've been targeting mujeres que trabajan and like legit women that are working. Even I mean, they don't have papers,
but they have their permanent resident cards here.
Yes, or they don't have papers, but they have a lot of kids here. You
yeah,
know? The anchor baby is what they call them. You know, horrible word. But he came up today on Piolín's radio, and he was telling us how scared he was because his mom is she doesn't have papers.
Oh my God! Can you imagine?
Yeah.
Yeah, I was on Instagram the other day. Todo lo que está pasando with Trump, like, you know, we could have like a whole show on everything that is happening around the world when it comes to that. Ese hombre es Satanás en vida. Like, a lot of people are starting to call Trump, like, this dude is probably like the Antichrist. He looks like a weirdo in a way. And I hate to be judgmental like that, but I feel like, I guess a lot of people are basing it off of energy. Mm-hmm. Oh my God, you took a drink at the same time. A lot of people base it off of energy. We got some pretty cool guests here, and we're going to introduce you guys to them in a minute. But I guess the energy that a lot of women, people, and just everybody is getting from him is that his decisions are coming from like a just evil place or evil or a place where like the intentions are not 100% right. But then there's also a lot of people that agree with what he's doing. You know, just Wale, the rapper, just came out saying like Donald Trump is creating unity in the country. So no, but we could talk about politics forever if we really get started.
I know, girl.
I know. So check it out. Coming back, we're going to introduce to you guys our really cool guests that we have in the house. They are part of this amazing organization. And we also got to continue to tell you about what Madonna has done. Her family, La Familia de Madonna, is expanding for sure. And Justin Bieber has officially made it back to social media. He couldn't give it up. Even though he said he was and he wasn't going to come back, he lied. We're coming right back. It's Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, it's your girl Amber Rose, and when I'm not busy handling my business, I tune in to Risqué with Roxy and Ruby on CBS's Play.it.
Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
These are my kind of girls.
And we're back. Amber Rose presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby, giving you a Valentine's Day special. Say Valentine's Day in your sexy voice, Ruby.
I'm sick right now, but Valentine's Day special.
Why do men love sexy, raspy voices? I've been told my voice is pretty sexy. And then you have those mean people on the internet that try to bully you and say, you sound like a man, Roxy. I'm like, there is nothing manly about me. Trust me. No, but speaking of social media, can you take a wild guess? ¿Quién regresó? Did I give it away already?
Yeah, you did. The beeps. Even though he said it was the devil.
I know. He went off about social media. Yeah, but you know what? It's business, honey.
I know.
He has a tour to promote. So este hombre regresó. And you know what? It's crazy because I was actually kind of like looking at his pictures. And he was topless. And he was talking about his tour that's coming up. But I feel that his looks have kind of declined a little bit. Like, I just feel like as you move on in life and progress and be successful, it's to improve, no? But I feel like he doesn't get haircuts. Como que he's rocking that grungy look, that John Lennon look, right?
Yeah.
I don't know if he's, like, evolving and that's his style, or he's just like, you know what? Fuck it. Like, I'm Justin Bieber and I do what I want and I don't shower if I don't want and I just...
But you know what? I don't know. It depends on the person because you know who got super hot throughout the years?
Brad Pitt, in my opinion.
Brad Pitt and Ricky Martin.
Ooh, Ricky Martin has always been hot.
No, but él embarneció because he was so skinny that I thought he was a cutie, but I think he gets better with age, you know?
You just love those older men, right, Ruby?
Maybe lately I've been, I don't know, changing my taste.
Yeah, you know what? Anthony, there's hope. There's hope, Anthony.
I have hope. New year, new day. I feel good. I'm playing the lotto. Shit, I'm about to win.
Hell yeah. Yes. God bless that. You know what? That is one thing that I do play is the lotto.
You do?
Yes, girl.
I've been thinking about playing.
I play the lotto, and let me tell you, I just won like $40 in scratchers the other day.
And how much you spent?
$5 and I got $40. So para mí, that's a win, you know? And I'm like, there's scratchers. The other day I went to cash in my scratcher to get another ticket. And this guy next to me, it was like 7 a.m. It was 7-Eleven and I got a cafecito. And he turned in his scratcher. She's like, you're the winner of $500. It was a Monday. I was like, that's not a bad way to start a Monday.
You won $500?
No, the guy in front of me did.
Oh, okay.
So I was
I've
like,
I've never won anything.
I'm buying scratchers. I am buying scratchers. If you want to make me happy, give me a bottle of wine and some scratchers.
Nice. So how was your Valentine?
My Valentine's was pretty good, you know, but I celebrate love all the time, you know? I celebrate love all the time. I try to make love as much as possible.
Nice.
So I definitely am not like February 14th, you have to wine me and dine me. I mean, if you want to, fuck yeah.
You know what I did, you guys? And we're going to talk about this with our guests. I watched 50 Shades Darker.
You did?
So hot.
Was it hot?
It was amazing. And then I had to... glasses of wine in the theater.
Yeah, I love theaters where you could drink.
It was amazing. It was the best movie.
Did you like climax alone? Almost?
I was with my friends.
Okay, what does that mean?
You know what? She better have said friends.
Oh my.
Plural.
Oh.
She would have said friend.
I would have raised some hell up in here.
You would have been like, she got some for sure. No, but check it out. Today, we are joined by these lovely ladies who are the founders of sexualsexpert.org, right? Your name is?
My name is Tanya.
And your name is?
Megan.
Tanya and Megan. And you guys have a very interesting story, right? Like how sexualsexpert.org, hashtag, your guys' kind of motto is like, take back your sex.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
So tell us a little bit about this organization. I was reading up on it and I kind of understood what you guys do. But then I was kind of like, okay, what the hell? What exactly do they
right.
do? Do you guys get that all the time?
Yes. And currently we get it a lot because we're under construction and we are in transition. And originally, this actually started out as a therapeutic way for me to get out sexual exploration. I was actually in graduate school at the time when I created it in my therapist's office. You know, growing up, I had a lot of emotional issues. I mean, as everybody does, I would say. And I picked up a habit of cutting. And so when I was in the therapist's office, we were trying to create something that if I got, you know, emotionally too much in turmoil at any point, that I could have some sort of outlet. So I created this thing on Instagram.
What?
Because instead nobody was, yeah, instead of just having a place to, you know, get out those emotions and be candid and be uncensored. And I was actually currently having an affair with somebody in my graduate school class, and my husband had found out, and it wreaked havoc. We've been together almost 15 years, and it just wreaked havoc on our marriage, and he wanted to divorce me. So it was a really chaotic time in my life. So yeah. I really did need what I created on Instagram.
And we all have moments like that in our lives.
Yes, absolutely. And I was coming out as a bisexual woman at that time, and I had a lot of just chaos. I mean, I was so normative up until then. I was in a traditional marriage with a Latin man, and we just had a really good relationship, and everything was so normal and clean cut. And
are you still with that Latin man?
I am. Ooh. Yes.
Does he light your fire, girl?
He does, absolutely. And so yeah, I actually had at the Instagram up to almost 100,000 followers. It was very popular. It was getting hundreds of followers.
What's
a day.
The account? We want to
follow
it.
No, it got deleted.
Why did it get deleted?
Because Instagram does not believe in women owning their own sensuality. If you look at Instagram, there are so many men out there that can just completely sexually exploit women. But the minute a woman does it, you know, and in defense, there's plenty of men that have, you know, sexual accounts that get taken out. But Instagram will take out sexual accounts in a heartbeat.
But that's crazy because I see girls, especially this Christmas, I saw a lot of super sexy Santa pictures of girls in thongs. And I mean, they still have an account. I see a bunch of swimsuit models. They have accounts.
But there were a lot of fights that like Rihanna and Chelsea Handler had because they didn't let them expose their nipples, for example.
Like, oh my God, nipples? Yeah. What are nipples?
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I'm highly political and I'm kind of a whistleblower in the sense, so Instagram took me out pretty fast.
What?
Yeah, haters. So I had to completely create a whole other dynamic outside of any kind of social media forum because they really do own everything the minute you sign up for there. And their lawyers actually sent me like a 15-page email because I said I would sue and get a class action lawsuit. I'm I contacted Gloria Allred. I did everything.
What? Gloria Allred reps everybody.
All right there. There you go.
And what about you? Are you in a relationship? Tell us.
I am in a relationship. So the way I got involved in the sexualsexpert.org is that she is my ex-girlfriend.
Ooh, okay.
She was my first polyamorous relationship, which just means an open relationship. So she's been married the whole time. And so I joined her and her husband in the relationship coming out of my divorce.
Okay.
So
a divorce with husband, you said?
Yes.
Right? Husband, okay.
I have an ex-husband.
So was that your first time experience with the women?
No. So before I was with my ex-husband, I was strictly with women.
Mm-hmm. So how did I've always and it's so cool because we have a caller on here that we're going to talk to in a little bit. He has a question, but I want to get his feedback, too, because he's openly gay. But how does that happen where I'm so glad we're asking this. Like, you're a woman. Mm-hmm. You had an ex-husband. That means you are a heterosexual woman, I guess, at that moment in your life, you know, right? But or maybe not, because mm-hmm. So then you like men, you marry a man, then all of a sudden you like girls.
No, she liked girls and then she married a man.
Okay,
and
so why do you do that if you like women? Why would you go marry a man?
Well, my specific story is so there's so much behind it. But my mom was actually murdered when I was 18.
Oh,
and
sorry.
I was dating women after that because I decided life is so short, I want to be happy.
Yeah.
But somewhere during the trial, I remember having all of my lesbian friends, some of them look like lesbians, you know, like a stereotypical lesbian, and I don't. And I remember feeling the judgment. And at that point, I was like, other people are married unhappily. I could do the same. I just want to be normal. I don't want anyone to look at me. I don't look like a lesbian, you know, even though that doesn't really exist. That's a big thing for people. It was a little bit hard on my conservative family. So I was like, you know what? I've already had too many crazy things in my life. I'm just going to be normal. I found a man that I really did love. He was a musician. So there was so many positive things for me. And we just tried to make it work and it wouldn't work. So then I ended up going back.
To your
true
self. So
I always say I came out of the closet, then I went back in, and then I came back out. So that's how we kind of got involved, because when I left him, I had been with him for 6 years, and I was only 27 at the time. That's a big chunk of your life.
Oh, yeah.
So when we met, she kind of identified herself as a sexual therapist, and I was like, maybe you could help me in more ways than one.
Maybe you could help me.
I helped her out a lot.
I didn't know at that point, what does it mean? How can I be a lesbian and go and marry a man? Does that mean I'm not a lesbian? I had no idea. Like, how do I...
That's so interesting. So what made you leave your husband? Is it because you were like, I don't click with a man? Or is it just because it just didn't work as a whole in a relationship? Or is it just because you were not satisfied 100%?
It was all of the above. I knew that we were not bringing out the best in each other. And both of us, no matter if I was in another relationship with a man or a woman, both of us could be a lot happier with other partners.
Oh, but you could have just ended up with a man easily.
Yeah, at that point, I had no idea. So okay. When I left him, I didn't say, I don't want to be with you because I want to be with women. I just knew that it wasn't working between us.
Gotcha.
And I had done so much healing from all the emotional parts of my life that I was ready to take that chance and say, I don't know if I'm going to be alone forever. It doesn't matter.
So you're the female version of Brokeback Mountain.
She is. So,
oh my gosh. This is so interesting. This is what people need to hear and listen, because I just feel like there's so many people that are in the closet, confused. They do what you did. They come out, they go in, they come out, and they're like, all because of the opinions of people or because they feel like they're being judged versus just being their extraordinary selves, you know? Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people may even kill themselves because they're so confused, or they cut, or they have all these.
Yeah, there's a lot of frustration in this. And that's why we created the hashtag Take Back Your Sex, because sex has been politicized for centuries against women. I mean, we live in a sex shaming and a sex negative culture. And so, you know, way back in the day when I just started realizing I was getting censored for being political, and I was getting censored for empowering myself and taking ownership of my own body, and it's kind of like, you know, I'll be damned if I show my body online and I'm the one doing it and I'm the one saying that, you know, I'm proud of this. This is nothing to be ashamed of. And so I said hashtag, you know, take back your sex, and it just caught on.
Damn.
And before we take this call, I have to ask what a lot of people are asking. right now.
What?
Girls, what's the difference between being with the men and being with the women?
Oh my God, it's so different. For me, it's so different.
Yeah, but like women that have never been with women.
Yeah, like honestly, yeah. I've never been with the women. Have you, Ruby?
No.
So you're talking to two heterosexual women?
Yeah, like I've never even crossed my mind. That's why I'm like, oh, and now that you guys, you know, have been with both, like what's the difference?
I mean, I'm very open about sexuality, and I've always encourage people to really embrace sexual relationships and you know, sexuality is a beautiful thing.
Who they are, totally.
But I've always known that, like, I like to get licked. You know what I mean? Like, I can't imagine being the one down there doing the licking.
Sure.
You know what I mean? But I don't know. It's just, is it more of an emotional thing?
I'm pretty regularly with men and women differently. So it's just, for me, when I'm with a man, it can be a lot more carnal in nature. There's maybe a lot more pounding involved. There's maybe a lot more of passion, just in a different way. It's just kind of masculine passion. And when I'm with a woman, it's a very sensual experience in nature. I actually just did something not too long ago, and I remember thinking, oh my gosh, this is like a spa day. It's just like a spa day we're having together. And so it's just a difference in sensuality, I would say. I mean, they're both equally really great experiences, but, and I don't know, what about you, Megan?
Well, I think it's different for, obviously, you guys are heterosexual, so you don't really crave women. And if you're bisexual, you enjoy both. But when you don't really enjoy sex with a man, you definitely find all of those feel, because I've been with a lot of men also. I feel exactly the same, but just even more connected. Mm. And anything that I could get from a penis, I mean, I could get with a finger, a strap-on, a tongue. So I don't feel like I'm missing anything. But I think it just depends on what you want.
Wow, that's a solid answer. Damn. So listen, we're opening up the phone lines because we have a lot of people that have questions, or, you know, Valentine's Day just passed, and just anything. Like, I really want to open up the phone lines, right, Ruby?
Yes.
If you have any type of sexual questions, especially since you guys are the sexual sexperts, you know what I mean? And right. You guys are very open about sexuality, which I think America needs more of that. You know, I think I need to start hashtagging take back your sex, because that's
please
powerful.
Do. Yeah.
Seriously. So coming back, we're going to be talking to a few people that we have on these phone lines. Actually, we got a lot of calls coming in about whatever they want to know about sex.
Sure.
Exploring sexuality, swinging, because you and your husband are open swingers,
we
right?
We are open swingers. Well, we're becoming open swingers. He'd like if I closed that door and was shush about it, but he knows.
He's this like, is a gosh, babe, you're embarrassing me. Just kidding.
Well, and that's why I even mentioned, you know, like the Latin culture. He comes from a very, very conservative, traditional family. And it's, you know, you don't want to bring any kind of like craziness or shame to the family. And so it's been really interesting experience. But like, my mother-in-law still does not know.
She probably would have done that as Maya. Ay, santo Dios! That is Maya. But, you know, I think a lot of couples, if they were open, if they were swingers, they might be happier. Because once in a while,
absolutely.
Be real. After 20 years, you might crave some new shit. Let's be real. Okay?
Okay, let's go take a break, and then we'll be back. Amber Rose presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Yo, hola, yo soy Juan Rivera, and you're listening to Risqué with Roxy and Ruby on CBS's play.it. Let's get it.
And we're back. Risqué with Roxy and Ruby, talking to our lovely ladies joining us from sexualsexpert.org, Tanya and Megan. And so let's talk about swinger relationships. I find that topic to be very interesting, just because I feel that, I mean, I have a certain, I have my own opinion about marriage. And I feel like, you know, back, if you look at the history of marriage, it really is it really was done for business purposes, like to gain land and property back in the, you know what I mean? Like if you'd really look and research like marriage and the whole institution of marriage. So I just feel like by human nature, people get bored. Right. Unless, and that's why they say you got to keep reinventing the wheel and your love. And that's why a lot of therapists have jobs, because that's what they got to do. They, you know, like people want to stay married because they think they have to stay married, or they want to be married sometimes. So the whole concept of swingers, when did you start implementing that? You said you've been with your husband for 15 years.
Yes.
So when did you guys start seeing like, hey, we want to swing?
We've been swinging for about 2 years now, I want to say. And I'm not licensed as an MFT. I chose not to, but I am an MFT. My graduate school is in counseling. My master's is in counseling. So I agree with you. You know, we definitely push for monogamy in society, but it's so counterintuitive to who we are. It's just ridiculous. And, you know, I mean, it's unfortunate that it is, but a lot of people do cheat on other people. You know, both parties, men, it's been more permissive, but women have really definitely started doing it, at least been, you know, it's been discovered. So
I have a question. So when you swing with other people, do you repeat the same person?
We can. We've had couples that we have seen on a regular basis. Yes.
Jealous?
Yeah, absolutely. Jealousy is a huge part, especially I would say the first year. Deconstructing jealousy is no joke. Like, we are all at huge predispositions for jealousy because it's built in kind of to the plan of how we conduct relationships in society. And so, yes, I mean, there was definitely meltdowns. And it was so funny because I remember my husband and I went to San Francisco this one time, and that was the second time we ever went to a sex club. Now, we didn't have sex with anybody at the sex club. We only had sex with each other, which was extremely stimulating in and of itself.
Wait, where were you?
In San Francisco.
San Francisco. One of my girlfriends, she went to Amsterdam or one of those cities in Europe, and she says she went to like some of the most amazing sex clubs in Europe.
Oh, fun.
But what exactly? I've never been to a sex club. Now all of a sudden I'm curious to go to one.
Let's go.
But what is a sex club? Is everybody just hooking up with everybody?
Well, yes and no. It's definitely a sex club. You definitely
is it like a dungeon?
Go in. Well, there are.
Is it like Christian Grey? Like, tie me up, whip
no,
me?
No, it's not. There are clubs, especially in San Francisco, they do have sex clubs that are BDSM dungeons combined. But no, traditional sex clubs, for the most part, there's BDSM components of it. But no, it's just, you know, there's a big, the one that my husband and I like to go to in particular in Los Angeles. There's this
Los
one.
Angeles?
Yeah.
There's one in Los Angeles?
Oh my God, there's tons in LA.
Holy
smokes.
Going to
be there next week.
Let's go, girl.
Hold on. I mean, listen, in life, why not? It doesn't mean you're going to go participate.
So
just like go and be
you
like,
can.
What the
you
fuck
can
is this?
Go
like,
and be a voyeur. Absolutely.
There's nothing wrong with going and just so observing fun. And saying, wow, I got to it. Yeah. Like, I know women that they refuse to go to strip clubs. And I'm like, you've never gone to a strip club with your so man? Fun. I have. Like, I don't know. Like,
no, I've gone to strip clubs with my girlfriends. Not with my
I've gone
man.
To strip clubs with my girlfriends, and I've
my
gone to strip clubs.
My man looking at another girl in front of my fucking ass.
With a
guy that just period.
I don't know. He didn't touch. He just enjoyed, and it was.
Don't go to a sex club then.
I mean, never.
Yeah, no.
His eyes would be out of his fucking skull.
Ruby is much more traditional when it comes to that.
Like, yeah, it is honestly very hard.
Hold on. Where is there a sex club in L.A.?
Well, you know what? I actually, because my husband always drives, and
are
I'm just
illegal?
Like, let's go. Yes, yeah,
they're
absolutely,
illegal?
Absolutely. You know what
oh,
I
so
will
you can't
say?
Disclose the info. Well, we're going to talk about this off the air then.
Well, and I will say that I do, because we get emails, you know, for the clubs that we belong to, and one of them just got put under fire. You know, everything's going to change with this new administration, and anything in the sex industry is going to start to get regulated pretty heavy. And the city tried to close down one of our favorite
Donald
ones.
Donald Trump must have a fucked up sex life for him to be so, you know, like he must have
Dude,
terrible
with
sex.
With that body, I don't know what you can do.
But his wife is banging. Yeah. Oh my God, poor lady.
Yeah, she's yes. No, but I mean, that's the price you pay.
Yeah. So, yes,
that sounded so bad, but it's the truth. I have no filter.
Okay, so tell us real quick about, so one of these clubs just went under fire.
Yeah, one of them, you know, the I don't know which code enforcement agency was trying to shut them down, but, you know, it's so funny. The first time we went, we were driving there, and I'm like driving through almost like the warehouse district of LA, and I'm like, I am not going anywhere and having sex with anyone in any of these areas. Oh my God, this is so crazy. And then we got there, and, you know, they pull the gates back, and you drive in, and it's just like Benz and Porsche, and I was like, okay,
oh,
I'm coming.
Damn.
And then we go in, and it's a really interesting environment. There is a dance floor area. There's a buffet. You can go and eat other things than just body parts. There's food, too. You bring your own alcohol. And
what's like the entrance to these sex clubs? What do you pay? What's the cover charge?
As a single girl, you're probably going to be a lot cheaper. A single guy could never get in. They have nights where single guys can get in.
I would have to pay to get there.
I don't know. I think some of them might let you in for free. No, really, you would. You would because
unless
they definitely
you know the bouncer.
And couples are about maybe between 60 and 80
oh,
for the
God.
Occasion.
But what do you see at these sex clubs?
Sex and more sex. Like lots of sex.
Twosomes, threesomes, foursomes.
Everything. Yeah. I remember one time my husband and I were having sex on a bed and there was just a room full of people watching us. And
damn.
Sometimes they'll just watch and sometimes they try to touch. And I'm like, there's too many hands.
Do you guys put on a good show? Like if you know people are watching you?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh yeah. Fuck yeah.
You feel like a porn star?
Yes. Yes. Yes.
I probably would put on a hell of a
you
show.
Do. If you do. You're just like, watch, it's so great.
I might as well just make you enjoy it.
Is there something stimulating about people watching you?
Yes. For me. For me.
Ruby, think about
this. Some people wouldn't like it.
You've never been... And I don't know, you've never been like at a hotel in Vegas or somewhere and you're with somebody, your partner, your boyfriend, whatever, and you have sex and you open all the windows just because you're kind of like, what if there's somebody out there watching me? No, doesn't that turn you on?
I mean, my last apartment was in Century City and you know they have like the see-through windows. And I had no curtains.
So you probably were giving everybody
go.
A show.
There you go.
Without even knowing it.
But I don't care. I mean, but when it comes to intimacy, with then I close my bedroom window.
She's like, my goodies are only for you, baby. Only for you. Okay. Men love to hear that. Yeah. Yes. It's all yours. Nobody else's. You're so huge.
Okay. Oh, yeah. And this is, I was telling you guys about me watching 50 Shades Darker. Yes. And we were talking to the actors and they said that they had no idea how big that is in America. ¿Cómo dicen sadomasoquismo? How do you say that in English?
BDSM.
BDSM.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's huge here, right?
Yeah. I
had no idea. Like, people actually, like, even if it's, like, soft,
BDSM. But, Ruby, you, like, during sex, you don't like to get it a little rough, or you like a delicate flower?
Have you seen the movie?
I mean, I've seen the first one. Did the second one is worse?
No, I mean, they just use crazy stuff that you're like, what? Like, what? Like,
I'm actually, I used to be a professional submissive at a BDSM dungeon. I know. It's like,
what's a professional submissive?
Yeah, like you were the one, like I could never submit. Like, I like to be in control a little bit.
So men would pay.
Oh, gosh, I would have never thought that.
Men would pay to have me in a room for an hour and spank me mercilessly or role play with me or, lots of
what
things.
Have you role played as? A nurse?
There was a couple. There's lots of different role plays. Some want to be a father daughter one, but there's no sex involved. Just wants to spank. Yeah, because you can't have sex in the dungeon anyhow.
And
but
you probably even dressed like a little.
Yeah, you would dress dress and act the part absolutely. Yeah. And they would pick you based off of their fantasy. Yeah, it's interesting.
And so hold on, do you get broken off from that?
Yes and no. There were definite times. I have a very curious scientific mind. So I was, there would be times when I'd be in there. And plus I was there and I was a therapist. So I remember this one time, this guy was really pummeling me. And, you have safe words, so he's not going to do any.
Which
well, they're
one
not
was yours?
To.
Red.
No, it was just yellow. If it got to yellow, they had to slow down. Green was good. Red is stop. And I remember we stopped and I even asked him, and I don't think I was supposed to, but I wanted to know why he wanted to do these things. I said, have you always wanted to do these things? Because he was borderline beating me up.
He was like the father-daughter thing?
No, his scenario that he wanted to, he was doming my teenage daughter and I found out and I came to confront him and then he ended up doming me was his specific scenario.
So what was his answer when you asked him that? Like, why have you always wanted to do this?
He just said, this is just something I've always craved. I've always wanted to do it. I always like to do it, so.
I find fascinating. That story is, to me, like, I read the books in a week. There are three huge books.
Ruby's a horn dog. No. Low pro.
Megan likes them, too.
Do you love them? I really
actually,
enjoy them.
Actually, my nana is the one who recommended it to me.
I was like, don't tell me your nana wrote these books.
My nana's the author. No, she recommended.
We are just so interested.
She is the freak. No, she recommended it to me, and I do like it. And it was before I met her and I was involved in that, I was with my ex-husband and obviously not very happy, but I had never heard anything about any of that. I thought that was, like, not real life. So when I was introduced to her, and I had already known her when you joined that
into
the dungeon.
Yeah, when I started working at the dungeon.
And I was just like, oh my God, I can't believe this stuff is real. But
I would text you and give you my stories.
But I do. We were just talking about this. My girlfriend and I want to go see the movie. And I loved the first one. I think was the day that I got out of my marriage. The first thing I did was go see that movie.
Yeah.
So I went by myself to the theater and went and watched it, and I loved it.
You're going to love the second one.
So we're really excited. But we were talking about the fact that it doesn't really represent BDSM that well.
I've heard.
It does and it doesn't, yeah. I've
heard. And there I was definitely. Like, I don't care. I love it anyways because I think both of those people are so hot, the guy and the girl.
Yeah. And you know what I love? It's what you just mentioned. Like, you asked him, why do you want to do that? Mm-hmm. And that's what I find, you know, fascinating about the characters, because I think there's a way of you getting there to that point that you need to, you know,
well, feel.
Okay, go ahead.
There's something called subspace that you can get into, and I don't necessarily like pain. I mean, I got into it, interestingly enough, because the girl that I had an affair with in graduate school was a mistress, and she very much was my mistress, and then I craved it when I left, and I needed to be submissive to somebody. I didn't necessarily want to be submissive to men, because I was very under psychological affliction, if you will, with her, but it was a good substitute. Plus, it was, you know, it's pretty good money. It's not a cheap thing to do, and it's very underground. So all of those things were attractive to me. But when I was meeting these people, I just found them to be completely fascinating, and it's such an underground. I mean, it's so fascinating. And there's a certain point where they're smacking your ass, and I'm just like, oh my god, this is incredible.
I mean, but doesn't it hurt sometimes at one point? Like, you would sting and burn. I mean, I've had a boyfriend slap me hard, and I'm like, ah!
I'd have to come home and hide my marks because they would, you know, trigger my husband. And so there was a couple days where I had to hide marks and just, you know, because I didn't want him to get upset. He knew what I was doing, but yeah, it's an interesting.
Have you done it?
No,
you've never done it.
No, me and my partner have some of the things that you would traditionally see, like handcuffs, and I have a gag. But I'm really much more the plain Jane of our little duo. I really like normal sex, even though I'm a lesbian. I know the way my partner makes me come, and I'm like, do that all the time.
What is it?
I just want it.
Don't stop.
Because it's true. You kind of do know. After you've been with the partner for a long time, you kind of know if I ride, I'm going to, you know what I mean? Like, right, you know. But then sometimes it kind of gets boring after a while.
Yeah. So you don't like to try things that
are
new.
The thing is, me and my partner have been together for 1 year and 3 months, so it's still pretty new.
Okay, it is new.
But what I like all the time is for us to, you know, like foreplay, we'll like make out, and she'll touch me, and then she fingers me and goes down on me on the same time, and I always come really hard.
Thank you for the visual.
And so I'm always like, okay, let's do that.
That but was exactly.
There will be a day when we will be bored with that, and we're actually not trying to open up our relationship, but we're joining the sex positive group in LA, and we're going to go on these kinky field trips and stuff. And we're,
what is that? Sex positive
SPLA. Yeah, I actually am really good friends with the president of that organization, so she'd be a good one for you guys to have into.
SPLA.com?
SPLA.org or .com.
What is SPLA?
Sex positive LA.
Yeah, sex positive Los Angeles.
Hold on, what are kinky field trips? What does that mean?
Well, I haven't been on it yet, but I know they're going to go to a sex toy shop, and they're going to talk about sex toys, and the group is just based on sex positive people in Los Angeles. So yeah, we have a lot of learning opportunities for someone who feels like me, even though I'm a lesbian, like I say, I feel like we do have a traditional, normal relationship. We don't try that many new things yet because we're still pretty new ourselves, so we're fine with what we're doing.
I just love it during sex. I just love a man never to tell me no. Like, if I want that, I want that. So give it to me. I just don't like hearing no. Because then I'm like, why?
Do you miss it?
Miss what?
The penis?
No, because we do have a strap-on. And a lot of lesbians, that might be the thing that they always use. But for us, I rarely ever want the strap-on. So if I have a time where I feel like I need the penetration harder, then I would ask for the strap-on. But literally, within the last year, I think I've wanted it 2 times.
Wow. It's that good.
I'm like, okay, what next?
Okay. And I love how both of you guys are super comfortable talking about this. Yeah. And you're so, I mean, like, this is what you do. You know, it's part of your life. So, coming back, dang, we never got to these callers because the conversation is so good. We have a few callers on the lines. We're coming right back answering sex questions. And a lot of men and women need advice on, like, okay, my Valentine's Day gift failed. What do men really want during Valentine's Day, even though it passed already? But I think it's Valentine's Day is more of a taboo, you know, and it's marketing. Mm-hmm. It's you know, we're fed. We're fed certain things. Sure. Chocolates and roses. Like, what? Chocolates get me fat. Roses die.
That doesn't work.
I love roses. Oh my God, you can kill me with roses.
Oh, you, why do you want to die? She's saying you can kill me with roses.
And go to heaven.
We're coming back. It's Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Hey, it's your girl Amber Rose, and you're listening to Two Bad Bitches, Roxy and Ruby on CBS's Play.it.
Risqué with Roxy and Ruby.
Turn up.
Regresamos. Amber Rose presents Risqué with Roxy and Ruby. Y pues, we have somebody on the phone lines que nos está hablando, parece aquí el área code de Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico, sí.
¿Con quién hablamos?
Mi nombre es Ángel Javier.
Hi, Ángel. So we were talking about, pues, hola, relationships, el sexo, las relaciones, everything Valentine's, aunque ya pasó. Pero, Ruby, what do you think este muchacho hace para mantener a su mujer feliz?
Bueno, Angelito, creo que esa voz yo la conozco. And, ¿verdad que sí? ¿Cómo estás? First of all, bien también, mi corazón. And I'm so glad you called because I've seen that you pretty much make your girl really happy every day, not only on Valentine's. So how do you do that?
I think that the most important thing is keep the love alive always. No matter what, no matter how big or small the detail can be, maybe a love letter, maybe sometimes a message just to say.
O sea, le mandas mensajitos y todo desde el trabajo y todo.
Sí, no importa la hora. A veces cuando menos se lo imagina, siempre le compro sus chocolatitos.
Ay.
Y le lleve flores al trabajo. So.
¿Y qué pasa? ¿Le mandas fotos sexys así? Mira, ay, mamacita, ahí te va una foto de tu amiguito. ¿Le mandas fotos así de vez en cuando? Porque los chocolates como que mucho engordan y las flores se mueren. Sí, ¿Qué pues, haces para mantenerla así como súper picosa la relación? ¿Ya ves? Y he's even laughing because he's like, ay, está Roxy. ¿Qué? ¿Tú le mandas fotos así eróticas?
Sí, lo hemos hecho, sí. Es como que la parte naughty de la relación siempre también hay que mantenerla.
Yeah, you gotta be naughty.
Cuando menos se lo imagine, el decirle, ahora mismo estoy pensando en ti, cuánto quisiera ahora mismo estar contigo haciendo cositas.
Ay, qué padre. So, what does your girl think about that? Do girls like nice guys? Do we like nice girls? ¿Nos gustan los niños así? Sí, ¿verdad?
Pues que no sean niños, they gotta be men.
Así le decimos en México. Ay, niña.
Bueno, you can ask her.
A ver, ahí está por ahí.
Sí, come here.
Ahora. Dominate her. Come here now. Just kidding.
Hola, hola.
Hola, corazón. Oye, ¿te gusta que te chiquie tanto?
Bueno, pues claro. Lo que sucede es que a veces ni siquiera las fotos son necesarias, aunque te digan esas palabritas que dejen toda la imaginación, hace que cuando llegue el momento de la verdad uno se desquite.
¡Ay! ¿Y tú le mandas fotos eróticas a tu hombre?
Pues claro.
Sí, cuando estás así, una selfie, la famosa selfie en el baño, en tanga.
A él también le gusta más que yo le diga detalladamente lo que me gustaría que le hiciera. Y eso, como que, cuando por fin lo logramos hacer, fireworks.
¡Wow!
Awesome. ¡Qué buena onda, Luisito! ¡Qué buena onda! A ver, ¿cuándo nos toca conocerlos? And thank you so much for everything you guys are doing in Puerto Rico, con la página y todo.
Thank you guys for calling. We love you guys. Gracias por escuchar nuestro show cada semana, ¿ok?
Ok, sure. Take care.
Bye.
Te amo.
Yo más, corazón. Te mando un besote.
Next one. Hello. Thank you for calling the show. Who's this?
Hello, this is Jesus.
Hi, Jesus.
Hello, my love. How are you?
Fabulous, darling. Is this the Jesus that I know from Instagram, Jesus Kardashian?
The queen, yes.
The queen?
The queen.
The makeup artist that's always looking fabulous. I see that you're working on your ass on Instagram.
Y-
you know I'm trying to get that fat ass for Valentine's Day.
You see, it's not only the ladies, Ruby. Los hombres también are trying to pump it up, you know?
Oh, yeah, but I've noticed that guys want a fatter ass than girls nowadays.
What's up with that, queen? Tell us.
Are all these guys turning gay now? Better for me, but... I'm just like, what's up?
Hey, so tell us, what kind of question do you have about love, relationships? We're hanging out with our friends, these lovely ladies, Tanya and Megan from sexualsexpert.org. I don't know if you were listening to our conversation earlier, but
everything.
So what, wasn't it juicy?
It got intense. I loved it.
So what kind of questions do you have for them, or any curiosities? Because you seem to have the personality that if you have a curiosity, you're just going to go find out.
Yeah, so I want to know, what is one thing I can do for my boyfriend that he'll remember for the rest of his life on Valentine's Day? Even though if he has a new nigga next year, he'll remember what I did for him this year.
Damn!
That's awesome.
What is that? You know, and you know what? I think so many people get so caught up on Valentine's Day. And it's like, how about... You know, it's kind of like when people take a vacation after December, after November, when everyone's back to work in January, and there's couples or families that are like, we're out in the middle of January. Everyone's like, dang, they're so lucky. You know, like, forget a certain day. I think so many people just get infatuated with this particular date. But what is one thing that we can do for a partner that they'll remember forever?
Well, you know, that's a tall order, but I will say I think something that is very, very undervalued, especially for men, is touch. And I've been with some lovers just, you know, recently or over this last year or so, and even with my own husband, and just touching him, you know, not...
Where?
Just all over the body, just like a sensual touch. And I just think that
touch my hand.
Okay, so it's just like, you know, just using your fingertips.
Oh my God,
should I put oil on them?
No. Yeah, absolutely. Yes? That could definitely enhance the experience. You want to, you know, for oil though, do you want to account for it, like where you're at, whatnot? Because you know, nothing ruins a mood better than having a ruined couch.
I'm not gonna put no cooking oil, no
masala. No. You better get some high class shit for this, some coconut oil, that good stuff. But no, I would just say touch for
like
men.
With the feather. Or with nails, if you have nails.
Yeah, all those different sensations. Mm-mm. And women like that. And I think typically women say, oh, just give me a massage or just rub me down. But we don't do it for men as much.
That is true.
And men need touch like women need touch. You know, babies will die if they're not touched. And that's men or women babies. That's not, or all the genders will say. That's not one specific gender.
That's
so
true.
I think
we overlook men.
We do. We really
a lot.
Do.
I mean, that's sometimes.
That is so true.
Sometimes I feel really bad for men because, you know, in our society, we really do live in a society where men, I mean, they're just like women.
We don't
give
permission for anything.
We don't give. And it's like, we have these certain expectations. They have these certain expectations. And it's like, fuck, who wins here?
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, my gosh. But have you ever been into BDSM, Jesus? Like all that bondage and role playing? Have you ever been into stuff like that?
I have never. I'm going to be honest with you. I've only been in one relationship. And it was a 7-month relationship. Let me tell you, that shit was the boringest ever.
How did you attract a boring guy if you have a great personality?
I know.
But what was boring about it? The person or the experience?
Yeah, I lost myself in between the relationship. And this guy wasn't himself. He was still finding himself. He didn't know what he wanted. So he didn't like none of that playing, none of that pounding, nothing, girl.
Oh.
So I have to call it off.
Yeah, you like all that pounding?
Girl, we need it.
I'm with you, Jesus.
Woo! I can't have a boring boo in my life. No.
So what are you? Are you a top or are you a bottom?
Or both?
I'm a bottom.
You're like, give it to me, puppy.
Yes, I'm like, I'll grab the tomatoes. I'll pick up the tomatoes, boo.
He's like, I'll be the submissive one, baby.
You'd be great. You'd be good for a BDSM relationship.
Why do you say that?
Well, if he enjoys that, you know, submissives, it's about bringing pleasure to the dom and seeing that pleasure
it's
within them.
It's just all about them, right?
Well,
first.
Well, I mean, no, that's relative because you certainly want it. And a lot of people will say that the submissives are really the one in charge. But You know, yeah, it has a lot of this idea of like pleasuring the dom, whoever the dom is, if it's a mistress or if it's a, you know, a dom, a man. And it's this idea of pleasuring them and giving them every whim and letting them be in control and all that. It's relinquishing control to this person.
I could picture Ruby being a dom. Like, come here.
Yeah, you, with that lipstick. Oh, girl, you got mistress written all over you. And those earrings. Yeah.
Ruby, I could picture you.
Get a whip.
Like, if a man tells you or like gets his head or something, are you like, you seem like rebellious, like, no, I don't want to do that.
I'm just gonna, no.
No, like, seriously.
And look at her boots. She already has the boots. See, you just need like a stiletto heel.
She just needs a whip and a knife. Like, oh, give it to me now.
I just, I think I'm a submissive in my everyday life. And let's just say that I like to turn it around on my sexual life.
And that is absolutely correct. Usually it is the opposite.
Wow, there he is. Anthony, our engineer, just got a hard on.
Hell yes.
And you are right in line with that, because I'm actually very dominant in life, but when I get into bed, I'm very submissive. So
I've
it usually
heard that,
is.
Right?
It's very opposite. Yes. Yeah.
I've seen that, and that is why I'm very fat. But it's not that I like to, like, golpear hombres. I don't want, I like to beat them down. It's just that I just turn into a little bit of a different person.
Hey, you know, and plus Ruby has that vampire look today.
That's with the red lipstick.
Dominate your ass like.
Like that bun on top of the head. Like, this, I'm here. I am here.
Like a football player. She will tackle you till you give her the best orgasm of her life.
Yes. That's what I'm talking about.
Jesus, we got to get you on the show, man, to give us some makeup tips, because I see that you're flying, traveling all over. Everybody follow this guy, Jesus Kardashian.
Kardashian?
Yeah, he's the stepbrother of the Kardashians. They still haven't claimed him.
Yes.
Rob, where are you at? Come pound this kitty. Come on.
No, but seriously, we got to get you on the show real soon. Thank you for calling us and asking that question. Remember, touch, baby. Touch your lovers.
Okay, I will remember that. But yes, babe, I will message. Let's keep in touch, and I'll be on there soon.
Okay, baby, thank you. Giving us tips for fashion and makeup, okay?
Yes, of course.
Okay, besitos. Love. Besitos.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye. So so let's keep talking about, so what are your thoughts on sex toys?
Those are really interesting. We just went to the Sexual Health Expo. What was it, last weekend, Megan?
Mm-hmm. So I like that. Where was the Sexual Health Expo?
Where was that? Down here? It was down here in
Los
LA.
Angeles.
Okay, we need to keep
Center.
In contact, because I want to go to all these things. I love sexpositivela.org.
Yeah.
I love the health sexual, because the truth of the matter is that healthy sex is good. You don't want to be, I mean, you could go to sex clubs and do all this stuff, but you can't be out there spreading STDs either. Mm-mm. Like, that's nasty. Mm-mm-mm.
Well, and I actually, that's really interesting that you said that, because we're recording a podcast tonight. We're actually going to be talking about STDs, because I have a very different take on that. Not saying here's the thing, because I actually just got into an internet fight with somebody, not a fight, an argument. And with one person, I had to walk away. I said, you're just too mean. And the other person, I said, thanks for giving me a safe space to talk about this, because my take on it is this, and actually the president of SPLA.org is the one, is a very good friend of mine, and we've had lots of extensive conversations about, like, when I became a swinger, and like, oh my gosh, what happens if we use unprotected sex, and I have a predisposition now for a lot of partners, and condoms, I mean, let's just be honest, condoms can be very cumbersome. Lots of men can't actually, it's harder for them to get up with it.
Yeah,
it can be very problematic.
I've actually found some condoms that are actually, it feels like there's nothing on them, but still, sometimes they're a problem.
Yeah,
sometimes they're very tight, and it's just
hard.
Sometimes when you do or in the middle of like putting a condom on, it could really ruin the whole moment.
It really can.
Hold on, let me put on a condom.
Yes, and you're had total tanks.
There's
with
a sexy way to put them on.
Yeah, but you know what the thing about it is? If you put them on and the guy can't, like, retain a hard-on, it can really damp it. I've had one guy, I mean, the whole atmosphere just tanked, and I was like, okay, maybe we should just say goodbye, because it's got awkward. But going back to the STDs, my only qualm about STDs within our society is we have this one part of the social contract that says, okay, everybody will be responsible and disclose these things and we'll all protect ourselves. But the other part of the social contract is really missing. And that's like, where do we hold an open and safe space for people who then do contract things to not feel like, I mean, we literally treat them as lepers of the society, of our society. And so it creates this really hard environment for people to disclose. And it creates this this really interesting dynamic where, you know, collectively we expect people to disclose these things, but then if you're like,
I mean, out of respect, I would want
absolutely.
Somebody to
and
tell
we want
me
those people, we absolutely want people to do that. But the other part of this contract is then, you know, I'm
what do you
curious,
do for the people
what
that
do you do for people who, yeah, exactly.
Like, is there a community?
Exactly.
So are you saying that, let's just say there's a community of, let's just say there's like a private Facebook page of people that are all HIV positive. Like, are you saying they all have that awareness about each other and then they all just go have sex without condoms since they're already affected?
No, not at all. I'm just saying that what needs to start to happen within society is we need to start developing language for people who do come up with an STD or an STI. And we also need to be inclusive.
What's
an
STI?
Sexually transmitted infection.
Yeah, like herpes or something. That's life lasting.
Yes.
Like
lasting, and actually, right? Herpes, I mean, they're discovering that basically everybody has herpes at this point.
Everybody has herpes.
Really, a lot of people have herpes.
No,
I mean, it's amazing how many people have herpes.
There's two types.
Yeah, and there's
type
different types.
Type 1 or type 2.
They're all within the same
family.
So
hold on. What's permanent? STDs or STIs? STIs are permanent, right?
Yes. Yeah, that's an infection.
Sexually transmitted infection.
Two. Yeah, there's two types.
Yeah. And there's, and again, this is a whole nother. I know we don't, because they keep throwing up the signs. We don't have a lot of time to even go in there. But it's
throwing up gang signs.
No, you know what? We should have a podcast where we really talk about this, because I think it's super important.
It is.
Well, and I just think that this last part, and this is the part that I was trying to convey, is this last part of the social contract. It's like, okay, well, what do we do when we realize that half of our population now has an STD or an STI? Are those people out? Do they never have sex again?
Yeah.
Have you ever had anybody disclose an STD or an STI to you? Like, how did you react to that?
Yeah.
I know a lot
of people, but they won't even talk about
it.
They're like, fuck, they're going to think I'm dirty.
Exactly. Because this is the environment with which we've cultivated.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not that, you know, the person was like, oh my God, you guys, you
but
know,
they
you
have
as a
to
sexual.
Talk about it.
But we have to create a safe space for them to talk within it.
Yeah.
And we have to say, okay, if you disclose these things, we won't deny you. Because, I mean, come on, who in their right mind is going to be like, well, I have an STD and an STI now, I'm going to tell everybody and no one will have sex with me, but that'll be okay.
But just your partner, because what if the partner doesn't want to live with the last long STD?
Oh, absolutely. Everybody needs to know. Yeah,
you
I'm
know?
Sure. The first part of this is solid. The first part of this social contract of, like, let's disclose is solid.
Yeah.
No complaints. It's the second part that's lacking that messes with the first part.
Yeah.
Because we never said, okay, well, when that person does do that, then what will the environment be like? How will they be received? They're still a person.
Yeah.
You know, the common cold is an infection, and we don't shame for it like that.
That is so true.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Tanya,
you guys need to come back.
You are so, I mean, you're so inspirational, and I love your take on sexual freedom. Mm-hmm. I love how confident you talk about it. Like, you're an educator. You really are.
Yeah, we both are definitely.
You guys are both educators.
That's the solid foundation of what organization is. And it started out as just kind of this, you know, place for me to be free, if you will. But it's really getting structured into an educational organization for sex.
Make sure you guys check out the organization. It's sexualsexpert.org and # take back your sex.
We actually also own the domain name of takebackyoursex.org.
Okay, perfect.
That one's probably even easier. So takebackyoursex.org is what we are gravitating towards.
And thank you, ladies, for coming and dropping knowledge and being
so
transparent. We need more of this in America. Everybody's so afraid to talk about topics like this, but Roxy and Ruby aren't.
Yes.
Yay.
Thank you, guys.
We are out of here. We will see you next week. Remember to download the app. Remember, you can hear us on Spotify. You can hear us on iTunes. Y regresamos la semana que viene.
Así es, comadre.
Bye.
Chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor. Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app.
Thanks to Republic Records.
This is a national contest.